Welcome, everybody, once again to the Magic Table. JJ, thank you for joining me here in our living room.
You're welcome.
Office, yeah. So we just got off of one of the best weekends of the entire year, which is all church retreat for us, where our entire church takes off a weekend and goes to Memorial Day weekend and goes down to Springfield, and we boat and we hang out and our kids run wild for 3 days, and it was magical.
I was going to say glorious.
Glorious. But... okay. Yeah. I think either way works. And because we didn't get to do it last year, and then I don't know if everybody remembers this, but then there was that whole coronavirus thing where we stayed in our houses
it's
for
too
a year.
Soon to be sarcastic about COVID. As Britton said today, coronavirus isn't over yet.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, fair, fair. We've just been by ourselves a lot over the last year. And I think I was just reminded of community when we were at All Church Retreat and how much I really like people, even if I don't have the capacity to be around them as much as I used to. But like, it was just, it was like, I remember people and I remember this feels natural, even while it feels unnatural. You know?
Yeah.
So we thought today we would talk about community and what the importance of community and how, as you put it, coming back into real life or getting back to more normal life, like how to start your own magic table.
So I was thinking about it just because not only like being with humans that we love on All Church Retreat, like it was so good, and I also think like at times it felt a little weird, and not like in a bad way, but just like, oh, I haven't been with this many other humans in a group setting in a really long time. And I think that kind of coupled with so many conversations at work about, you know, people getting vaccinated and being able to attend events that were not possible last year. There's just right. A lot of conversation about what it looks like to return to relationship and community. And so, yeah, I think it's important to talk about.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe we could like go through our history though a little bit, like, because it's not just like the magic table and this whole concept and our love of community came out of a vacuum, and that it's just like we were endowed with this superpower, because that's definitely what it is, you know. But it's not like we were just like, you know, and like this dish didn't come out of a vacuum. Like, so in your mind, like kind of like looking back, where do you think the genesis of like this love for that sort of thing comes from?
Like in our marriage and family, or like in my life?
Whatever you want to answer.
Well, I mean, I think for me, the reality is I just thought this is how most people lived life, because I grew up in a house that's just what we did. And so, I mean, we always had people at our house. My mom was always feeding people. Like, I mean, even in high school, she did lunch, I want to say like once a week, for like my friends who wanted to come over. And just, yeah, it just felt really natural to me.
Even before we dated and I was super cool, I had come over to your house to play ping pong in your garage.
Yeah.
Several times.
With your other girlfriends.
You weren't supposed to say that part.
I think it's funny. But yeah, I mean, we just had a house, like even in high school, that, you know, it was a place to be at because there was a fridge full of like Cokes and Dr. Peppers, and my mom was either making a brownie pie or had Miss Piggy cookies.
Yeah.
And so I think, and then it just really naturally happened when we got married. I didn't have any friends besides like the guys who had been on your floor at Moody. And we also realized I didn't know how to cook. And so I would like make something and be like, it's not pretty, but it tastes okay, and started feeding them and it was better than cafeteria food, so they kept showing up.
There is the fact that when I was at Moody, you weren't allowed to watch TV in your room, but if you were a married student housing, you could watch TV. So my friends did a lot of sampling food slash watching of TV. Yeah.
And I didn't care that they used us for our food and TV because it felt like I had friends. It sounds so sad, and it was. But, I mean, I think we started there, and then when we moved to Bridgeport, we realized, I think it was our first Thanksgiving there, that, like, you worked at a Starbucks that was open on all the holidays, Christmas Day included. And so we were like, oh, we know a bunch of people who can't go home too. And so we'll just host Thanksgiving and make a bajillion dishes. And, you know, then came out here and started at Life Church, and we were leading a small group. And it just was kind of this rhythm always of feeding people. Yeah. And I think, right, we've talked about, I think, in previous episodes, but I know not everybody goes and, like, listens to everything we have to say. But I also think, like, I just got better, and we hit a rhythm of, like, early on, I stressed myself out and made these ridiculous things for people that were fine. But, you know, the longer we did that, the more I realized it wasn't about the food per se. It was just having something to eat and being welcomed in a home. And so, I mean, I just think it's something that we just started as soon as we got married, and it just feels really natural to, like, who we are and how we operate.
Yeah. And I think in that story too, there's been failures. There's been really awkward moments. You know what I mean? Like, I guess, I don't know.
No,
I guess,
for the audio, I just rolled my eyes.
I guess for, I don't know. I guess there's this idea that, I don't want to sell community as, like, everything is going to be awesome. Like, if you're in community, like, community is awkward. It's uncomfortable at times. Like, it takes a lot out of you. It takes vulnerability to be in community. It takes sort of laying aside maybe some of your own desires sometimes to be in community. And, like, yeah, community is not kind of this end all be all, like, everything is perfect sort of scenario. And I think maybe people have trouble, like, really being in community sometimes because there's expectations of what it should be that aren't really ever going to be fulfilled.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I also think, like, not that it's all rainbows and unicorns, but also when you've shared the meals and sat at the table, I think those conversations are easier to have. Mm. You know, there's trust, there's established relationship and rapport. And so, like, it doesn't mean there aren't hard conversations, but to me, they feel really different than if we hadn't spent the time around the table, like, building those relationships.
Yeah, I think that's true. I always go back to that small group. And when I say that small group, you'll remember that small group. When we first started on staff at Life Church, we were having a baby. We had no money, like, but less than no money. And you were quitting your job, you know? And that small group, I think, taught me more about community than anything I had ever been through. Mm-hmm. Because not only were we going through one of the biggest crises of our lives up to that point, but several other couples in that group were going through similar things, not the same situations, but going through
crises.
Yeah. And so just being messy with other people and it being okay to be messy, I think, taught me more than I had ever really understood about what being in true community is.
Yeah. Well, and you realized you could show up and say the hard things and there wasn't judgment.
Yeah.
And there wasn't dirty looks. It was just like, oh, we love you how you are. I mean, I also think the interesting thing about that particular small group is, like, so many people were in crisis and the family hosting didn't even go to our church and are the most like, they were parents of the leader. It's not like we were at strangers' houses, but like, even amidst that, you just felt welcome because they were hospitable and like they would do tea parties. They babysat the kids and would do tea parties on like their silver.
Yeah.
You know, and you just thought, we're showing up here to be messy and this family's loving us by opening their home and caring for the kids in this group so that we can have a small group. And I think there was a lot of hard in that group and there was a lot of beauty.
Yeah. Well, and that, I mean, that cemented a relationship with those families that is still going on today. And I would say we have walked through more mess with them throughout this decade plus that we've been friends than anyone else. And I would not trade like a moment of that for anything, you know, because I guess when you're in community, you're taking on, you're not only giving your burdens, you're also accepting burdens.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, if you're willing to sort of step into this magic table lifestyle, we'll call it from now on this magic table lifestyle. If you're willing to step into this, you're going to have to be willing to receive burdens and give burdens. And I think it takes a lot of humility to give burdens. I'm an Enneagram 3. I am very, very good at seeming like I have it all together all of the time, because I want everybody to think I'm competent and I know what's going on. And so sharing burdens with other people is horrible. I absolutely hate it because it admits I'm weak in some way. And I really like having it all together, as I know many people do, but that's not possible. You can't have true community and have it all together.
Yeah.
And I think you also have to be willing to receive what other people's burdens. I mean, you have to be willing to step into the mess in order to have true community. So it takes this vulnerability, but it also takes stepping into the mess for other people, like holding other people up. And so community is really, I think it demands a lot of us, you know. I don't know. I think I just already had said that, but I'm just reiterating it.
Yeah. And I also think when you've walked through the mess, you celebrate and appreciate the beauty of community in a different way. I just keep thinking about the day Britton came home. And we were supposed to host small group that night. And so, you know, had I birthed a baby, I don't think I would have opened my home. But, you know, it was a celebration.
Yeah.
Because our small group had really, really walked alongside us.
And yeah, I mean, they were in the trenches as much as we were in a lot of ways, and held us up as we walked through the journey. Yeah.
And so like that homecoming was that much sweeter because, you know, it was precious and we'd celebrated as a family all day, but to welcome around our table these friends who had loved us through the heart, who got to, you know, look at Britton and celebrate with us and, you know, bring dinner to our house for us, is like one of those beautiful memories of just like, this is what community is. They mourned around the table with us so often. And so to be able to share our joy was just a gift. Mm. And I mean, I think that's why community is so important. I also think like to that point, our kids are so involved in this process. And so like our kids think it's really normal to have people over a lot. And I, you know, they're still little, but my hope is that these are things that they will value as adults and continue on in their own families. But I just think like, I love it that our kids actually get angry when we haven't told them that someone's coming over for dinner early enough for them, whatever that means. because they're excited. They want to be with people. They enjoy community in a different way. And I think that's cool too.
Yeah. And back to Britton coming home. I mean, that's part of his story now. Like, we tell that story. I think we told this story over the weekend, actually, with people who were at All Church Retreat, who were in that small group. And that's part of his story that he takes on. And like, I think that's pretty cool, you know, to enter into that.
Yeah. It was his first selfie.
Yeah.
With our small group.
Yeah.
Because we had to document that day.
Yeah. Right. I think, we live in an individualistic culture. I mean, especially white Americans are very, very individualistic. And I think individualism, while we can be excited about our freedom and all of those things as Americans, individualism is really, really dangerous. I think we have this notion that it's just me and God, and Jesus died for my sins and I'm atoned for, so therefore I'm okay. And I feel like when we cut off community, or we don't allow other people to speak into our lives, we just end up all over the place. Like, we can be just led astray so easily. Like, we all need people sort of speaking into our lives, sort of, and being able to tell us that we're doing it wrong sometimes, you know? And so I worry that as we become more individualistic, that we lose more and more of like the heart of the gospel and what Jesus has called us to, you know. Community kind of like anchors us in a lot of ways. And that's why finding healthy community, I think, is really important.
So I love that you made it like about Jesus and the gospel, because what I was thinking was like such a value to me of community. Again, that's a part of All Church Retreat, is just having fun. Like, I laughed a lot this weekend. Yeah. I cried a lot this weekend too. But I just think, like, yes, there are a lot of people that we've done life with that we have like serious and heavy conversations, but like, those are also the people that sit around our bonfire pit and belly laugh with us. And so I think like there is this level of community that's like vulnerability and trust and rapport building, but there's also this element of like, it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, I love that people come over and jump on the trampoline with our children, or teach them how to play frisbee, or, you know, whatever the other things are that they do outside. But just this like part of community is like enjoying being together, and that, you know, on retreat, it's canoe trips and being on the boat and shared meals. And it's just like, some of it is just fun. Like, watching my kids play at the park with their friends after over a year of not being at the park with friends, like, it's just good for your soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what do you think then for like most people? Cause I think everybody could sort of be on board with this, right? Like, community's good. What do you think for most people are like the major barriers to living the magic table lifestyle, as we're now calling it?
I mean, I think part of it is like, I don't have enough space. I'm a terrible cook. What if it's awkward? Like, I'm so busy.
Yeah.
Those are like the first four that pop into my mind. Do you have additional thoughts?
I think busy. I hadn't thought of busy. I should have, but that might be the biggest one, because we really like to be busy, and we like other people to know we're really busy, because that means like we're important, you know?
Yeah.
But I think most people, if you were to ask like, hey, why haven't you had somebody over in the last 6 months or whatever, besides obviously the coronavirus, you know, pre-pandemic, they would say, I just can't find the time to do it. And so how do we call BS on all of these things?
Well, I mean, I was like, as I was thinking about this while I drove home from work, like the special person I am, I was just thinking about like the reality of like, for us, we always have a list of people that we want to have over, because the reality is there will be people that were like, oh, we should have dinner with so-and-so. But when we have a free night, there's like a handful of people that we kind of rotate
list, yeah.
through because they're easy. They're people we know we get along with that we can kind of call last minute to come over. And it's not like that those are, I mean, they are some of our very favorite people, but those are just easy things. And so part of it, why we have a running list of people to spend time with is because when a free night comes up, I like having a list to say, like, here's three families. Who of these should we reach out to first? Because my brain may just not go to that place. And so I think that's really important to, like, be, I mean, it takes intentionality to say, like,
sure,
we want to spend time with these people. How are we going to make that happen? When it is not pandemic, I mean, we typically have someone over at least once a week, sometimes twice.
Sometimes thrice. But part of that is, I mean, part of our job is to be with people, yeah. right? So as pastors at a church.
Yeah. But I think part of it is like we know where, I mean, right? I also have a weird job. So we only, I don't have a weird job. I have weird hours. And so like our nights are really limited. Right. And so we just have to be more intentional, I think, than an average family because sure. our nights are a hotter commodity.
Yeah.
Because I'm gone a lot of them.
Right. So busyness can't, I mean, busyness, if you're too busy for other people, I think maybe there needs to be a reprioritization, right? And intentionality in like, what do we really value? Like, I always think about what do I want my kids to like think about when they think about their childhood? And like one of the big ticket items for me is that there are other adults that they could feel like they can talk to and know really well and that have poured into their lives, right? And so I think if you're too busy to like maybe incorporate some of those things into your life, others, like maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a reorienting, a reprioritization of like, what do you really value? You know? And if community isn't a part of those values, I would say we might need to rethink some things going on because, I mean, I could give you all the theological reasons, but we are called to be the church, like together, mm-hmm. united by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like that is New Testament truth right there. And I think if we're devoid of that in our lives, I think it's not good for our souls.
Yeah. So again, you're talking about Jesus and like JJ, the therapist is going to visit. And I mean, I think the other really real reality is why don't you want to be in community? Mm. And I think there's like the possibility that you've been hurt by church, which means that usually you've been hurt by God's people. Mm. And so like feeling vulnerable doesn't feel good. And so I also want to be really conscientious of like that we're coming from a place of saying like you need to jump into community.
Yeah.
And I want to acknowledge that that doesn't always feel safe to people. Mm. And so, yeah, I think it's right. There may just be some other work that needs to be done in you.
Let's see. What could you do?
I know the answer is always go to therapy every time, but you keep putting a microphone in front of my face. but I mean, I think, unfortunately, we live in an area where there have been some major moral failings of pastors. And unfortunately, I have seen a lot of people who have either been under the leadership of one of those pastors or have just been hurt by God's people. And like, that's hard.
Yeah. No, you're right.
So like, I just feel like it's really important to acknowledge, like, if you aren't jumping into community, like, because community has hurt you, like, that's okay too. Like,
yeah.
Give yourself some space to heal.
That is really well said and really important to talk about. Yeah.
It's like, I like know some. Yeah. Things about interpersonal relationships.
It's amazing. Yeah. Okay. So what about the whole, like, more of the practical aspects of these things? I'm not a good cook, like you talked about. I don't have the space, that sort of thing.
So my favorite thing about warm weather is we have a huge gigantic backyard, so I can have all the people over in the summertime. And so, like, we just know in summer we can host more people. And so, like, what does that mean in your space? Or do you push all your furniture to the walls to create more? Like, you can be creative. Or maybe you just have smaller gatherings. Like, that's okay too. The other thing, and I know I've talked about this before, but like, and I've also talked about that I used to do these like stressful, extravagant meals. In the summer, you are either going to have curries, chorizo sliders.
I'll put the recipe up in the show notes.
Or if it's a Tuesday or a Saturday, we might just order dollar tacos from the local place because they're incredible. But like, when you realize it's not about the food, or just have everybody like bring your favorite appetizer, or we're just going to have desserts. Like, it's not, like, if I could go back, I know we did an episode early on, like, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? Like, I would have told early on JJ, like, it's not about the food, like, in the way that you think that it is. Right. Make a charcuterie board. You can, like, just cut up some cheese and get some, you know, go to Trader Joe's.
I was just going to say, Trader Joe's is legit for that sort of stuff.
But it just doesn't have to be complicated.
It's more about the people and the presence than it is the other aspects of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
People just want to be somewhere that where they're known and that people care to know them, where people care to get to know them better.
Yeah. And then I think the other thing I said is it might be awkward. And like, the reality is it probably will be.
It's going to be awkward.
And
even a pleasant night could have its moments of awkward.
Right. I mean, also, like, I love our children, and sometimes, like, they say things that you're like, wow, this was, like, a really awesome night, and then they said, like, just as kids do, just yeah. say funny things, or maybe things we wouldn't have shared in that setting, and, like, so maybe you or your kids make it awkward, or maybe you've been really excited to, like, spend time with someone, and they come to your house, and you're like, wow, I thought you were going to be my new best friend and we probably don't click. And like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Too. Because I think it's hard. I talk a lot about how thankful I am for Curry that he like has his Starbucks skills and can like talk to anybody, because people are always like, oh, your job is talking. I'm like, no, my job is listening. I don't have to make small talk with people. I'm terrible at it. Terrible. And so like,
I don't understand how you're terrible at small talk.
You just
ask a question.
No, because I'm like, tell me about your family. Like, I just ask questions that people don't want to answer when you don't know them that well. It's very weird. And so like, maybe it's even thinking through like, what are some things if there's a lull in the conversation I could ask about? Or maybe, you know, I'm fine with comfortable silence. Even awkward silence. That's fine too. But I think part of it is like, you might just have to be the one who initiates like a hangout. Maybe there's someone at work or at your church that you're like, gosh, they seem really cool. I'd love to hang out. Like, just ask them. They may be also hoping that someone wants to hang out with them. And right. I just think, like, this fear of rejection or that things don't go however we want them to, like, keeps us from engaging. And I think we all miss out.
Yeah, I agree. Can I throw out one possible other objection that I have been thinking about?
Do I have a choice? Or are you, like, still gonna? Wow.
I mean, I suppose you do have a choice.
Sure.
So I'm an extreme extrovert. I've been called by some, and you're an introvert. Yep. And I wonder if there aren't people who think I'm an introvert, therefore this is not sort of my thing. Therefore I don't have to do something like that, like community. Is that a possible
objection? All things are possible. How's that for a happy answer?
That's great.
Now, I mean, I think the reality is, though, that's just like figuring out yourself. Which that sounded harsher than I meant it to. But I mean, I think, right, like we know sometimes we just say yes to several things and then I crash because it is too much. We joke that like I love All Church Retreat and like, whew, it's a lot of time with humans too. And so like for us, I know my limits. Is that the right
word? Yeah. Or you know where you're, how you're feeling and where you're at.
Yeah. And yeah. So like if we have a few days in a row of people, like I have to like plan accordingly. And so that may even be like if we have people over two nights in a row, like I may need a chunk of time like between those by myself to be able to be like a present human the next time or for the next evening. But I also think that's something that like it has taken us a while to navigate.
Yeah.
And for me to even understand about myself.
Yeah.
Like I'd be like, oh, I'm not fun to be around and I'm snippy and angry. And then it took me way longer than it should have to be like, oh, too much people time. I need downtime.
Or you're hungry.
Or I'm hungry. Gosh. That is also true.
I think there's also this misnomer about introverts that like people just drain them and like just getting away from people is the only thing that make them feel better. I feel like introverts, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but introverts do better with a smaller group of people than like a large party is not an introvert's jam. But
no, it's not my jam at all.
And a large party is what I want to do every night, you know. But I think a smaller setting for you is a lot of times more uplifting than a larger setting. Right. So just sort of knowing, I think even as an introvert, it doesn't mean avoid all people. It means understand your limits and understand like what sort of people and what sort of settings give you life and what don't.
Yep.
So
the dynamic,
I guess maybe the encouragement here. I mean, obviously we want people in community. I think it's important to be in community. I could tell you all the reasons over again, like I have several times throughout this episode, but I think as we get back into sort of normalcy, as vaccines roll out and we're kind of dipping a toe into this thing, there's going to be weirdness about it. Like it's not going to be easy. And I think anybody who sort of thinks that like it's going to be easy is kind of not understanding where we're all going to be at. We're all going to be at different places at different times. And I just think as we go back into this world, I think we just want to encourage you to really, I think it's easy to stay cocooned, right? Mm-hmm. And like being indoors and being cocooned for this year has felt safe. Like it feels safe to be, you know, and by all means stay safe, right? Don't make poor decisions. But at the same time, there has to be a point at which we get back out into the world in which we experience others. And I think the encouragement is that like the embodied togetherness is how we were meant to live. We were meant to live as communal people. We were meant from the beginning to be a people group, together, to love one another. That's how Jesus tells us that they will know his followers, by how much we love each other. And I think the encouragement here is that like, it's okay to put yourself out there and to try new things and to, you know, experience life from other people and at your own pace. Obviously, you know, if you need to do work before that can happen, then by all means do work. But we need each other.
Yeah.
And I think we want to encourage you to do that, to experience other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think that's good. Cause I do think I was thinking the same thing. Like, I think it feels safe and I think it feels easy.
Yeah. Right. It's become easy
to just stay home. Yeah. And I think returning to relationship can feel clunky. And I guess my encouragement would be like, it's worth it.
Yeah.
even if it's clunky and weird.
Right.
It's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Preach it, sister. Good. Well, I think we nailed it.
Per the use.
Yeah, we nailed it.
Covered the whole thing.
That's good. But we'd love to hear about your magic table. You know, what you're doing with people, how you're kind of dipping a toe back into all of this. Or if you never stopped and you have great weather and you can be outside year round or whatever it is.
Yeah, tell us how that works. I'm jealous.
Yeah, right. Our 9 months of winter here. Whatever. yeah. So, but we'd love to hear about it. As always, please reach out to us and we'll see you next time at the Magic Table.